Sounds great.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about success. We talk about what it actually costs to get there and what it takes to rebuild when clarity is gone. Because the truth is, some of the strongest, most capable people, they're not broken. They've just been carrying too much shit for too long. And God did not create you to live in survival mode forever. He calls you back to clarity, to peace, to a life you can actually hear yourself again. So if you've ever felt like you lost yourself while trying to hold it all together, this conversation is for you. Today's guest is Deborah Bowers. She just doesn't just talk about rebuilding. She's lived what it takes to come back from it. I think you guys are gonna love her. Like, we probably had a whole episode before I hit record of just a conversation. She's amazing. Deborah, thank you for coming into the hot seat. I start everybody out with a launch question of give us your elevator pitch and tell us what makes you special.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for having
Yeah.
me. I really help businesses and other agencies and individuals with growing their business through connection and demand building rather than using sales tactics and techniques. And it helps them get their sustainable growth rather than that seasonal and that reactive growth.
Yeah.
So we're talking about buying personalities, sales psychology, and really digging in and how people connect and how they buy, because it's different for each of us.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. What is that? How does that work in with the fact you said clarity went offline? What is that translated in real life? What does that feel like, look like?
At the time, well, for me, I mean, it looked like me on my knees crying
Yeah.
most of the time, but I
Yeah.
was in my early 50s. I'll be 60 later this year. And so it
I
hasn't
think she's
been that.
lying if you guys are watching the video, okay? So we all know.
I definitely look younger than I actually am. And I'm, of course, very grateful for that.
Yeah.
But I was in my mid 50s and I had been stuck for quite some time in my professional life, in my marriage, and I couldn't make a choice to change it, like really stuck. And some big things happened. One, in 2020, my marriage fell apart and I ended up splitting a marriage of 20 years.
Wow.
And all of my kids, I raised five kids, two are my biological, and they had all left the nest. And then the final thing was my mother died. And the loss of her was very impactful in my life. And I took care of her. She was diagnosed with cancer, and I got her for 5 years. And a lot of that time, she lived with me. And so I had this big open emptiness, right? Because even when you choose, like I chose to be divorced, but that's a whole big empty spot
Yeah, it is.
in my life, in my soul, in my thought processes. So I had all of this emptiness now. I had one person left to take care of, me, and I had absolutely no idea how to do it.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of emotional reactiveness. Everything made me upset. There was a lot of indecision, and I don't know what to do. And I can't decide what to do. And so clarity was completely offline. And the things that I had spent decades doing, taking care of other people, running other businesses, were all gone. And that was a point to me. And I was incredibly thin, very, very thin, a good 30 pounds lighter than I am today. And I look pretty good today. So I was unhealthy. I was always an athlete. And so I was used to feeling strong. And I didn't feel strong at all. And I came to the epiphany of I have a lot to do in my life. My ex-husband was a gambler. He gambled our entire life savings away. So I had no finances. I wasn't running the company that we owned anymore. I had no job. So I was really lost. I said, I have a lot to do, right? I mean, I have a lot of ground to make up, and I have a purpose still. I have a lot left I want to do, and I can't do it if I feel like this. So it started with something simple of, I don't want to feel this way anymore. And that is when I turned my life around. I changed my mindset, which was, it was huge. I couldn't have made any of those changes. I went into grief counseling that helped me tremendously get through all of that emptiness that I had inside. And it helped me in a lot of other ways too, a lot of realization there. And I started building back and remembering the things about myself that I loved. And along with that kind of breaking down and clarity going offline, I'd lost my value perspective. I grew up in a generation where women specifically were told, you're too much. You need to be quiet. You'd sure be prettier if you just smiled more. All of those things, as an older Gen X person, we did. And so I spent decades watering myself down to make other people feel comfortable. And when I sat there full of nothing but myself, that's what it felt like. If I posted something online that someone disagreed with, or generated conflict, even if it wasn't with me, it was amongst people commenting, I would delete the whole post. And so I spent a lot of time fixing things, making everybody feel good, taking care of everyone else. And when I stopped doing that, I felt really lost. It takes a while to build all of that back. And I found my voice again. I started my agency. I started my podcast. I'm now a partner in a consulting agency. And so I built all of that back by making changes in my life and really taking control.
You just like describe the whole essence of the show and my message to people. Like, you guys hear her intro, she comes in, she's boss babying the hell out of her life, okay? Like, she's just boom, and then all of a sudden, like, she tells you where that came from. And it's like in one of those darkest moments where her identity is stripped away overnight. All of a sudden, you're not the wife. Kids have moved out, and eventually you're not the daughter either. And so that right there, I think, is incredibly important for, the people listening. I want them to understand there was no magic wand. No one came and saved you. There was no secret hack to how to get successful. You had to work through your shit. You had to work through it. And that's not easy. Like, I think another thing they don't understand is, like, no matter how successful, even now, incredibly, you're crushing it. You're still human. So guess what can happen? That stuff still comes up. You're still going to be working through the stuff, but it's making that choice. It's not, now you're a victim. Now you don't have identity and purpose. Now it's not everybody else's problem because you can't figure out who the hell you are. You did that. I think that's amazing. I want to talk about people just chill in survival mode. So let's talk about that because, I think there's a lot of space here to kind of talk about your healing journey, of just issues. You talk about functional freeze, how do you figure out if you're in that, and then why do people just stay in this cortisol poisoning forever?
Functional freeze for me, I didn't realize I was in it. And I was in a session with my counselor, and I was on about how badly I was procrastinating. All the ways, and then being really hard on myself afterwards because I can't do it. And why can't I? It's not like I have to learn a new skill to tackle these tasks, but for some reason, I can't make myself do it. And one, that's not like me. And so then all of the negative talk about procrastinating, he let me go on for about 10 minutes. So I had fully explored all the ways that I was procrastinating. And he said, Deborah, you're not procrastinating. To which I replied, yes, I am. You're not listening to me. I just explained all the ways. And he said, no, you're not. You're in fight or flight. You're the deer. You literally cannot do it. Your subconscious has taken control, and that means your conscious mind isn't choosing. And that was a huge epiphany for me, to realize that there's a difference between, yeah, I need to do that, but it's a sunny spring day and I'm going to go to the lake instead. Real procrastinating. And having something that is seemingly simple that you need to do that you can't even begin, right? That you'll do anything. Look, my ex-husband's calling. Let me take that call. Anything that I can do to get past it. And he gave me a grounding technique that he says will work and snap people straight out of even a delusion. But for me, it is incredibly effective, and I don't have to use it as much as I did at the beginning, but it's called 5-4-3-2-1, and you can Google it. It takes you through all five senses and grounds you to the here and now, which is a safe place. And when I do that, after I'm feeling stuck in that way, and it still happens to me, it'll snap me out of it. I can walk in and do that task right then. It's crazy how effective it is. And so now I realize that probably for a decade, I was in functional freeze, and likely off and on throughout my adult life. And what that really looks like is I'm hitting my day-to-day stuff. I'm taking care of my grocery shopping and my house, and I'm getting up and I'm going to work, and I'm doing all of those things, and I'm making decisions. But I know something's wrong. I can feel it, and I can't make a decision to change it. And it doesn't matter what part of your life you're in. If it's professionally, I know this isn't the right path for me. I know I should not be doing this, but I can't make a change. I knew my marriage was bad. I knew I wasn't able to communicate with him. I could not make a decision to change my life. I know I need to do whatever this task is, but I can't make myself do it. And I'm not talking it out. I can't. It's a different type of a feeling when you're in that functional freeze. And the functional part is I'm functioning day to day. I'm not paralyzed by fear and unable to do anything. That would be obvious. That'd be too easy. I'm functioning every day, but there's some aspects of my life that I'm not able to take control of and consciously make a decision to do it. And I think as women, I think collectively, we've been in functional freeze for a while now. We know shit is not good. We know if we stood together, we could make changes, and yet we don't do it.
No, I very much agree with that. And, you know, I think just because we are women, we do take on the weight of other things too, right? Like I am, you know, at functional freeze for me too, because I realize, you know, I struggle with that a lot. But there's also days where I just realize, right, like I'm close to burnout. But it's not even a negative burnout because I love everything I do, right? Like I love being a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom. We have that typical family dad provides. I love that. I love that I get to be here for my kids. I homeschool. You know, I've taken responsibility for all those things. So I have all this stuff, you know, and he's providing. And then I have all these passions. Like, well, I want to do all the things. I want to write the other book. I want to have, you know, I've got four podcast shows. I just want to do all the things, taking on clients. And there's a point where I'm just like, as much as I love everything that I'm doing, like there's a point where I'll find myself on the couch cuddling my 7-year-old. And I'm just like, man, I don't think I can post those emails today. Like I genuinely, like I can't. Can't do
right.
it. Physically can't do it. And I give myself the grace. I'm like, girl, like you know, you're doing all the things. It's okay. It's okay. You know, and that 5-4-3-2-1, I love that method. That's the one, like if I end up having to sleep to the alarm and it goes off and I don't want to get up because I know I'm going straight to the vibration plate and the weights, that's the 5-4-3-2-1, and it best thing to get me out of bed. Like you don't get to think about it. You're counting, you know, I count down the countdown method. I think Mel Robbins does it, not necessarily the senses, That'd be like if I'm having the anxiety attack. I love that. But that it's really, really helped me. But what do you think that people misunderstand when it comes to that burnout and overwhelm? And how can they bring that clarity to know, like, am I
How
really
when you're
burning
in
out?
burnout, right? Because
Yeah.
burnout's different than freeze.
Yeah.
Burnout, for me, it's obvious when somebody's really reaching that moment of burnout when they become resentful of the things that they love.
Yeah.
And so an example is I had a client that I do strategy for, and they have a content creator
Yeah.
that they use that's third party. And that content creator was just, and they're, I guess, friends too. And the content creator was really upset and struggling and pissed off and fired clients because of the feedback they were giving them.
Yeah.
So, as a content creator, client feedback is critical for you to do your job. And
Right.
normally they love that because it gives them ideas that they can use. But he had been pushed so far. Probably not by his clients, just by life in general or business problems, that he became resentful of them and resentful of the feedback they were giving him. So he was deep in burnout by the time he had reached that. So if you're tired, rest, don't be hard on you. I'm so hard on myself when I don't
Yeah.
feel well and I take time and I have to self-talk out of it sometimes
Yes.
still. But resentment for me is really what the key is. And let's face it, when you're in that burnout phase and you're resentful and you're emotional, we don't make good choices.
Not at all.
So he fired clients that were likely good clients
Yeah.
that paid well because he made a poor decision because he was burned out. So
Yeah.
burnout happens amidst things that we love to do. When we aren't taking good care of ourselves and taking the time and we're pushing a little too hard.
Right.
And once you become resentful of that, now I hate being a stay-at-home mom and I feel like I'm being taken
Yeah.
advantage of. And you snap at your kids when you that's not what you really feel like. So
Yeah.
for me, I think people don't understand that that doesn't mean your life sucks and that suddenly you hate being a stay-at-home mom. It
Yeah.
means you need a break and you need to take better care of yourself and find clarity in how you're feeling and
Yeah.
thinking and take a moment.
Yeah. I know, like a while, like years ago, I had a breakdown and I called my mentor and I was just like, it's all too much. And she's like, all right, well, let's see what we're going to take off your plate. And so we went through the choice, like every selection on my plate. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not giving up any of it. And so it was just a matter of like, if I'm not willing to give up anything, how can I be better? And it was a matter of like, it's not negotiable, like, especially my stay-at-home moms, I love you to death. You have to fill your cup. Like, I have a morning routine. It is not negotiable. Non-negotiable. I fill my cup, or I could never sit and have these conversations. I couldn't do everything I do if I did not do that in those moments. So I think, I love what you're saying, that like resentment, that's your warning sign. If you're starting to get mad and like annoyed by everything around you, that's probably past the oil change light coming up. Like
It is.
your engine's about to blow the hell up.
Yeah, you've
So
been driving with the
yeah.
check engine light on for a while now, and you didn't think it was
Yeah.
doing anything and it was really
Yeah.
causing a problem. And that is very telling when that happens. And I think it's commendable for you that you are doing the stay-at-home mom and yet you're
Yeah.
still keeping your passion
Yeah.
and still able to find that. I wasn't able to do that.
Yeah.
I worked other people's passion as survival, right?
Yeah.
The closest path to revenue, the closest path to make this happen. And it's great to be able to be a stay-at-home mom,
Yeah.
or a stay-at-home dad and hold on to your passions and let them go. And I think it's okay to not take something off your plate.
Yeah.
You're going to add one more thing to your plate, and that's self-care.
Yep.
And make specific time. And when you do that, it's okay that your plate's full, right? Just get a little bit bigger. But what you add on gives you the energy and resiliency to be able to do the rest of it better.
Right.
And non-negotiable boundaries, I made two when I was at the very bottom. And they were actually physical, kind of. One of them was, I feel weak and frail, and that's not my natural state. So I need to work on and make healthy choices. So choosing to take care of my vessel was really important to my mindset. And the other one was, I'm not going to eat fast food. I was stopping from all my little temp gigs and appointments and bringing fast food home and sitting on my bed and eating it and watching TV. So I'm not going to eat fast food. And I've only eaten it a handful of time in 6, 7 years because of that. So when you say it's non-negotiable and you mean it, those words, man, they're powerful.
And you're exactly spot on, because I think that's the most important part of, people ask me, like, how do you do all those things? Number one, I wake up and I move my body. I don't touch my phone in the morning. I move my body immediately, and then I read the Bible every single day. Like, move my body immediately, where I'm lifting the weights and I get some, I get steps in at least 3 miles. Read the Bible, and I don't eat shit. I just can't afford to. I've
It,
realized, like,
once you stop, you it is telling. When you eat it, it doesn't taste good. It
it
tastes
doesn't
weird. It
feel good,
tastes
all of that.
right. And you don't feel well afterwards. Those are really important. So mine, I wake up every single day and meditate.
Love
I
that.
pop headphones in right then. I start my meditation app and I meditate. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't meditate. I can't clear my mind. And you know, humans can't clear their mind. A human with a clear mind is in a coma. And we're not even sure that it is clear when they're in the coma sometimes, right? So sitting alone away and no more input, take away the input. Your mind races like crazy because none of that shit's been able to get out and be heard. It's all been covered up by the things that we ingest. Videos and social media and all of those things. And so when you finally take that away, now all of that needs to come out. And so that daily practice, I've been an avid meditator for about 15 years, and it definitely helped me with my journey when I was able to still do it. And of course it wavers. You know, I'm
Of
like
course.
everybody else. I'll have wavering moments, but meditation lets you gain emotional regulation without analyzing all of your bullshit. It just happens naturally. And so reading the Bible is really a form of meditation. Prayer is a form of meditation. So it likely helps you tremendously that you do that because it just turns everything else off and lets your brain process for a little bit. And I don't think I would have been able to gain the emotional regulation that it takes, right? Because that's what the key really is. Nothing's pissing me off, nothing's triggering me. And that is a really important thing. For me, it's this is me. Doesn't matter what kind of chaos is happening around me, what kind of bullshit's happening. We're all down in that mud together. We get to choose how we experience it. And so I'm not giving that power away. This is my way. And meditation helps me maintain that no matter what's happening.
I love that. And I think everybody needs to find their superpower in that moment, because that's exactly it for me. And I hand off all the stress and pressure. It is, I re it's a guidebook for me. I know how to face the day. I know what to do when this happens, and it turns off the noise of the world, because I already know what's coming. Like, I know what's going to happen. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new. So I get to stay focused on the things that are really important. I love that so much. And you're so right. Everybody's in the arena, okay? And if you guys have been here listening to the show long enough, you know that. Like, you know that your suffering doesn't make you special. There's no gold star in heaven saying, "Ooh, Deborah, gets a gold star because she got divorced, her kids moved on, she lost her mom. You're so special." No. Like, that was her message. That was her launching point. That was her saying, "All right, that's it. Something has to change." Nobody made the choices for her. And now you're killing it in business. I love this. So I want to shift gears a little bit, because we are coming up on our time. What is wrong Okay, with the way most people approach sales and growth right now.
Sales is really where the misalignment between your leadership and your customers and their experience, sales is where that really shows up. And that's where you feel it the most because they're the ones out there on the front lines talking about it. And so everything kind of lands on sales. Well, leads are down, revenue's down. We need to make an offer and we need to sell. And then, I mean, most of the time when I meet with a business, sales culture and sales is so far on the back burner, we got to dig really deep to even find it to talk about because people want to sell, but they don't want anyone to know they're selling. And it's become such a dirty word talking about it because no one wants to be pressured. That sales has become this synonymous with talking me into shit that I don't want. And what sales really is on a human level is a transfer of enthusiasm. If I'm enthusiastic and authentic in what I do, then I can transfer that to another person by connecting with them. But when you sit down and you try to connect with somebody to sell them something and they don't know anything about your company yet, you haven't built any demand, you haven't built trust, you have now. I'm trying to do that in this short amount of time, and that feels like pressure. And they're like, I'm not pressuring, I'm just telling them everything. Yes, you're telling it to them right now without connecting. So, really, we've lost track of demand building. When I first started back in the 1900s, I love it how Gen Z
I
says
love
that all
it
the time.
too.
It was always about demand building, building demand for your products and services and for you as the provider of choice of those services. And branding that we has been such a hot button really only focuses on that one little level, the part that's about you as the
You.
provider. And often it doesn't do a good job of building demand. And so it's only effective for a short amount of time and really only for one buying personality. And I have four, I kind of combine two. So there's really five because the influencers, social media changed a lot of it. But if you want to get sustainable growth, which is what we all want, so that we're not in panic mode, you have to pay attention to buying personalities that don't build trust easily. We've all sat in front of someone that's a skeptical buyer. You can tell they don't believe you. They've got that look on their face. Their dog's got that look on their face. They don't believe you. It takes time. But a satisfied skeptical buyer is the most loyal customer you'll ever get. You'll get more clients from them. They are worth investing the time. So we skip a lot of steps that we're not doing. We're not connecting with people in a meaningful way, in a way that they like to be connected with. And then we're coming in and sitting in front of all of these people trying to sell. And when it's not effective, that's a sales problem. But it's a system problem and a culture problem. Everyone in your company has a part to play in the sales cycle. And when they understand that, boy, are they empowered. They understand in a new way how they relate to customers for that business and their sales pro and their success. They're not just doing payroll. They're not just answering the phone. They're not just working in the warehouse. And when all of that comes together, now the magic can happen and the customers are happy, the experience is good. All of that works together and sales becomes easier. Now that salesperson can sit down and easily connect and make a sale. Or if let's say the product's not right, or they've already got somebody that they're working with that they like. I'm not the only great marketing person in the world. They may have somebody. So if you connect, though, at a minimum, you can get a referral.
Of course.
So that losing that human connection and it becoming about lead gen only, that is where people are really missing it and misidentifying in their company what that is. And that really comes from leadership and that whole package being put together and we're just missing it.
No, there was a whole wave of sales became ick because it was just so overrun with bullshit. It became ick to everybody. And it's funny to me because sales, we've all been in sales our whole life. I'm selling my kids on protein for dinner, right? I'm selling my kids on, like, we're literally everybody's selling all the time, and you don't even
I think
realize it.
everybody has like that one kid they have to beg to eat. It feels like, right?
It's
It
like, yeah,
is.
sell them on the healthy thing, but
It has become such a dirty word. And
yeah.
let's face it, every single business that exists is existing because it's selling something.
Exactly.
So, yes, no one wants to be set and pressure sold, and no one wants all the yucky cold calls. No one wants any of those things. So the correct way to do that is to build trust based on how people like to be spoken with.
Exactly.
And those things, when you know that about customers and potential customers, now you know it about your coworkers too. And now I know Brandon likes,
Yeah.
a little bit of chit chat before I hand her 25 things to do.
Yeah.
And this other person, though, does not want me to chit chat with her. Just give me the work. All of those transfer through, and those categories are with us forever. So using them and connecting with people is really the key for sales.
Yeah. Where do you see leaders, because this is so, I see this everywhere, abandoning themselves in the name of success?
Boy, that's a big one. And part of that is, I think they have that focus on success and goal. And I think also, there's been a lot of studies in the last year that came out that talk about high-level leadership in companies. Only about 25% of them think that the decisions that are happening in their company are good.
Yeah.
They're disenfranchised as well. And I think that's an inclusivity. They're not being included in
Yeah.
big decisions. So when we're very revenue focused and those decisions come down, very often they disagree. They're in conflict with their own personal values. And when that happens, now I have to have that decision. It's the right decision for the business, perhaps, but it conflicts with me as a person. And if I don't deal with that and find a way to understand it and work through it and connect with people so that I can explain it, now it just looks like when your kid asks for something and you say no because I said so.
Yeah.
Now there's no more connection between it. And I think that can be very demoralizing for the leader themselves because they're promoting something they don't believe in or it's contrary to how they think. I think letting people go is a big part of that. None of us want to hurt someone's livelihood. And when you care about people and the people on your team and you have to let somebody go, that's a terrible feeling. So being able to move through that and understand the conflict between what's good for the business and what's good for you and maybe what's good for your team, oftentimes those are not going to be all together. But staying connected with them and helping your team members understand why it's happening, helping them adjust
Yeah.
to the changes that are happening. We're seeing that a lot with AI now.
Yeah.
Those are really big things. And that still starts internally with the leader being able to process it themselves and have emotional regulation so they can have a real conversation with their team about the choices that they're making and being vulnerable in the moment of, we don't want to have to make these choices,
Right.
but it's what's best for the business. And so we have to make them. This is how we're going to move through it.
Yeah.
And so, again, back to connection, back to being real and authentic and understanding that it's okay to show, I don't really agree with this on a personal level. But on a business level, I get it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. We're coming up on our time here. So, my final question, and we'll kind of take the show full circle because we went boss babe, we got deep, then we went boss again. Speaking to the audience, for someone who feels stuck or just completely disconnected right now that has can't even fathom being a badass boss babe right now. What's their first real step back to clarity?
First of all, it really is connecting back with yourself. And likely, if you're feeling really stuck and you can't make those steps, you've lost that. You've lost that connection with yourself. And for me, the only way to get that is to spend time alone with yourself. And when that gets hard, and if you're specifically being hard on yourself, that was a big thing for me. I would be hard on myself about it. If you're having trouble having those conversations with yourself because it turns to that negativity, I have this photograph of myself from the first grade. I think I'm 6 years old in it. And I remember that dress. I remember all of it very vividly. And so if I'm being especially hard on myself, I talk to her because you cannot be mean to that part of you that's innocent. And that lets you kind of ground back. But it really goes back to spending time alone, no screens, no music, no social media, sitting alone, letting all of those thoughts come because they're going to let them come. And for me, my clients, I challenge them to do 5 minutes a day for 30 days. I think after about 10 days, you'll find you've been sitting for 15 minutes. Because now you're connecting back with yourself and you're learning more about yourself. Then break it down. If you've got something that you can't do the full task, find one. Keep making the steps smaller until you find one that's small enough that you can do. And now you've completed something and then do another small one. And eventually it'll get to where it's bigger. But it starts by getting back in connection with yourself. And you have to do that without input from everybody else. That comes from you.
I love that. How can people get resourced with you? Where should they find you?
You can listen to my podcast, Deals with Heels, probably where you're listening to this one. It's available on all formats and YouTube. And then my website, hexagonmedia.net, is a great place. I'm on all social media, but LinkedIn is really if you want to connect with me, where I'm probably going to pay attention and maybe respond. And I have a free resource that you can download that I will send you the link so you can add it to the show notes called the Human Sales Playbook. And it's a guide to help you connect and sell with and build trust through connection without feeling salesy.
I love that. Deborah, this is the part of the show where I get to express what I think makes you special. And it's not just what you've built, it's how you rebuilt and where you started from. You didn't rush things. You didn't fake it. You didn't bypass what you went through. You didn't skip the steps. You took massive responsibility. You faced it. You understood it, and you turned it into something that actually is helping people to not only lead, but just live better. And that is the depth that we need more people to move from. That is incredible maturity. Everything that could have kept you broken, every excuse for you to stay the victim and feel sorry for yourself and never take massive action. You took all of that and you have created something so beautiful. I love the impact that you're out here making. Just grateful that you moved into your potential and your calling. To everyone listening, you guys don't need me to say this again, but you don't have to stay in survival mode. God did not create you just to hold everything together. Like, you're allowed to have clarity, to make decisions from a really safe place, to build a life that doesn't cost you yourself. I'm calling you to just be radically honest and to be steady because that makes you magnetic. And please remember, your mess is your message. Even the burnout, even the grief, even the seasons where you felt completely disconnected and you're like, why me? That's where your wisdom comes from. And if you've been filling the pool to use your voice, to share your story, to actually say something that matters, okay, to step into your legacy, you don't have to wait till it's perfect. I created a free podcast support group, okay, a space where you can start real, stay consistent, build something meaningful. All the content I put in there is free. It is, I'm telling all the trade secrets. I do not gatekeep, okay? Because your voice is your superpower, okay? That's where we start. That's where we bring on the humanity that Deborah's talking about, of just your people will know you. They will know you because they're going to listen to you and spend time with you every single day and be like, I trust her. You'll end up being able to sell anything to them. Okay. That comes with it. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. You know someone that Deborah and I will never be able to reach without your help. So don't be selfish. Share the show. Make sure you leave a review. Stars are super cute. I appreciate them, but it really helps the show to be seen if you can go ahead and type out something. It takes a couple minutes. And if you're ready for the hot seat, you know where to come. Just stop by, tell me what makes you special. Deborah, you're amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me in the hot seat. I really enjoyed it. I felt like you and I could have talked about this on a Joe Rogan-sized podcast,
Forever,
3 hours. And I
exactly.
love what you're doing. I love how you're helping your audience.
Thank
It's
you.
so important that people understand how important their voice is. And if they're
Yeah.
being pulled to use it, they're meant to use it.
Yep, I agree. I'll see you guys next time.